I'm going to look at
prayer, the hidden life of prayer. As you pray, what is the request? Two remarkable, amazing verses, Matthew 21, 22. And all things, you know, that means unlimited, right? And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. This means that there is no automatic limit on what you may pray about. Prayer is as unlimited as the omnipotence of God. And then Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, there is more to it than that, because we are a rebellious house. We are a people who tend, right from the beginning, to think about ourselves alone, where God's way is loving service. All of our saved life, he is training us to be like him, and for eternity, we'll be able to exercise that within the triune family. It'll be far more than the Godhead will still be triune, but think of the hundreds, perhaps thousands, perhaps millions of those who've been saved throughout all the centuries. And we will be loving, serving each other in a constant activity of caring. The prayer then of faith that can get whatever it asks is like a plant flourishing in fruitful soil. It draws its substance from a frame of mind that is in conformity with the mind of Christ. When the scripture tells us that he will give us the desires of our hearts, it doesn't refer to wrong things. You find a child playing with a shiny butcher knife, picking up the razor blades, you know. That was what they desire, but it's not what you're going to let them play with. So there are limits. I want to mention eight things. Number one, the prayer of faith is subject to the divine will. So he gives us the desires of our heart when the desires of our heart match his desires. It is subject to the divine will. 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so faith is what God is in what God has said, not what we want, not faith in our prayer. It's faith in what God has said. Number two, it is restrained with the interest of Christ. Jesus said it this way, John 14, 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will you do, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So within the character, bounded by the character of Christ, we ask within those bounds. That's in the name. That's in the character of his name. Then, number three, it is instructed in the truth. So we're not asking for ridiculous things. It's instructed in the truth. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That you've taken in the truth. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. When your prayer is schooled by truth. The fourth is that it is energized by the Spirit. This is not a ritual thing. This is not saying your prayers. every night when I'd go to bed as a child, my mother would tell me to say my prayers, and I would say a prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I'm probably glad I didn't think about that. I'm every night praying about dying before I wake up, you know. I don't know. Doesn't sound very, very cheerful. But it was a poem that you said, and that was saying your prayers. That's not praying. Praying is actually talking to God and understanding that he's listening. So it's energized by the Spirit, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is that? The power of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Now, I love to analyze this because it's all that you ask. Beyond that, it's all that you ask or think. Then beyond that, it's all that we ask or think. Then it's above all. And then it's abundantly above all. And then it's finally exceeding abundantly above all. Good grief. Only the infinite God can understand all of that, you see. It's truly unlimited, but it must be energized by the Spirit. And of course, he's only going to energize what is best. The fifth, it is interwoven with love and mercy. Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Don't think that you can go through this ritual of prayer no matter what your heart is like. He only listens to your heart. Or he listens to it more than your words. You can put on that mask and be Holy Joe and have your special eloquent prayer. But it's what's coming from your heart that's being translated by the Holy Spirit. That's what God's listening to. Number six, it is accompanied by obedience. We had a situation where a child is being disobedient and then asks for something. The parent is not motivated. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever you ask, we receive of him. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments. We're not going astray. We're not seeking our own things. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He's pleased with what we do. He answers the prayer. 7 and 8 take us beyond requirements. Number 7, it is so earnest, it will not accept denial. Once these others are set, then we're not, my wife and I always took this idea with our children. Come around Christmas time, and our kids wanted everything in the world. But not very much. So we would listen. And then when the things were repeated, when things were stipulated, when they came back to it over and over again, we said, that's really what they're wanting. All these others are like sprinkles on the cupcake, you know. Be nice if they had it, but that's not really what they're desiring. And God is like that too. Luke 11:9, Christ says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Don't just wait around for him to supply it. Ask. This is your activity. See? Ask. Then, beyond asking, seek, and you shall find. And then knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This is where you keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And the last one is that the prayer of faith labors for its answer. And we get this concept from James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. This is where you're forgiving one another and asking for forgiveness. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed, healed of all kinds of difficulties. And then he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's this fervency, this heat, this boiling over thing. This is working at the prayer. Sometimes it's the number seven working, where you're praying again and again. But sometimes it's in the prayer itself. It's laboring to get it out of your heart and into your words. Sometimes it's just trying to communicate with God how much this means to you, how much you care about the prayer request. But it needs to be fervent prayer, where it labors for the answer. Comments or questions? Bring up some thoughts. Yeah, Nancy?
It's like the story of the unjust judge.
Yes.
That says, she's going to tire me out with keeping coming. And so I'm going to take care of it. And then it says, and God is not like that at all.
That's
but
right.
We should keep coming and keep coming. We should not give up.
Yeah. If he were like that, the steadfastness of asking, the repetitiveness and the fervency would be effective, but he cares a lot for us. And so it's sort of like the parents saying, well, then that's something that really means something to them. That's something that they want.